all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers.
I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalls hoes. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll fool you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Stereo code, source code, ISO, RAM, SIP. Dedicated to the hackers and the...
Welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 160. This is your host, Droops, and to fulfill the cliche of all hacker media, starting out with, this is the name of the show, this is my name, and I'm sorry it's late, but guys, I'm sorry the show is late. If you listen in for a little while, you will figure out why the show is late, and I guess why I'm a jackass for having it out so late. I think y'all need to pay me more, and I'll do it. So if you double my zero, I'll still have zero, but I'll feel better about myself because I had a raise and I was doubled in pay. We've gotten several emails from people saying congratulations on the new Hacker Media site, how cool it is. And that Lower Logic sent one in, and so did a Michael, and we appreciate that. Mr. Yelsab, I again made everything. He's awesome. The site looks freaking awesome because of him. It's all that guy. Everyone go into Pound Infonomicon on freenode.net and say, Yelsab, you kick ass, because that guy really does. I'm still working on a few updates for the site. I'm going to hopefully tonight take out some of the shows that we spoke about last week that had the ads. I left them in there just so people could see and see what all that was about. I got an email from a guy named JG, and he said the new Hacker Media feed doesn't work in iTunes. Any estimated time of arrival for that? And if anyone needs someone to do something and they're not paying them to do it, you should be, I don't know, nice about it and say, hey, this doesn't work. Here's why it doesn't work. You know, don't be, hurry up and fix it, you jackass. I want your hobby to suit me more. Because people will just say fuck off to that and not really help out with anything. But we're working on that for Mr. JG. And he sent us an email also saying that here's how Apple needs the RSS feed to be. So we're going to play around with that and see if we can monkey around. I know we were having some trouble with some of the Sean Kennedy stuff not working with the way we were reading the RSS feeds. We have an important announcement to make at the end of the show where we're going to unveil a new site that you guys that can, I don't know, right-click and view page source have already figured out about. But Hacker Media is about to have a sister site, which I think is going to be pretty cool. And we're also working on a new feature for the Hacker Media site. And it's not that this takes very long to do or that it's very complicated to do. It's just I haven't taken the time to do it. Where people can submit content, maybe it's not a permanent show. Or maybe it's just something someone put out that needs to be on the Hacker Media site. The old one had ways of doing that if you had a username and password, which was pretty much emailing me and say, hey, I need an account. But, so people can submit things, we'll look at it, and so we're not getting a bunch of trash submitted through it. But people can submit something real quick, and that adds it to the Hacker Media RSS feed and to the front of the page. We're also going to try to update the featured show at the top of the site. I don't know, every month or so-ish, maybe. Sploitcast has been up there for a while for all our testing. And they're really cool. Y'all should all check it out. And I don't think I mentioned something that's really neat about Hacker Media. It doesn't take the latest data to make the center column, where all the shows are listed by order of how they're done. It's how they're added to our database. So if I started a show and called it Droops Radio tomorrow, and it was picked up by Hacker Media, then all the Droops Radio shows that are in the RSS feed would show up at the top of the page, you know, until something new came along, because that's how it was added to the database. So it's going to be a really neat way of advertising new stuff that we add to it, because boom, here's a whole bunch of it. I don't know if it was intended to be that way, but it works out really cool. I've also gotten several emails from people, content that needs to be added to the Hacker Media site. And as long as there's no ads in the RSS feed and it's of hackery type stuff, then we will definitely add that to the site. And please, if y'all can find something that I don't know about, because I am not the all-seeing eye or the all-listening ear, send it to me so that we can put it up there. That'd be awesome. Really awesome. I don't know if everyone knows, but I've started a little business. And Mr. Low-Tech Mystic is staying over here and helping me start it up, and we've rented an old building. And it's in the downtown of our little small town, and it's a really cool little building. It's on the National Register of Historic Places, but it was kind of falling apart. It was an old, cruddy building that people hadn't occupied in a while, and when they did occupy it, they didn't really take the best care of said building, as in to fix a hole in the back on the floor that, like, you could physically fit several guys in at the same time. They just nailed the carpet tighter around it. So when the carpet got old and rotten, Mr. Droops fell right on through and scared the living shit out of himself. So here's a story. It relates kind of to the hackery media thing by, I don't know, you're trying to play the system and trying to win a game that is stacked against you. And it's been frustrating as ever-living shit, but it's been kind of interesting in retrospect, and when I'm not really mad and just slamming a hammer against my head, I think about it and I'm like, you know, it's actually kind of interesting. Now, I live in a small town, and many of you do live in small towns. I know that's what drew me to listening to shows like this, because I didn't have friends that I could just bullshit with about computers every day, you know, hanging out at my house, but I could ride around and listen to Dual Parallel and Bland talk about just a phone conversation between two guys interested in technology. And that really, I don't know, it stuck with me because I'm still helping out with as much as I can. But this little small town, it's not who you know. Actually, excuse me. It's not what you can do, kind of how nice you are. It's who you know, really who you know, and if you're from here or not. We've been having trouble with our dog catcher, and our dog catcher has been extorting us by coming to our house, capturing our dogs, and charging me money to get them back. And now, granted, I let my dogs run free. I don't have a fence. We're working on that. But we're actually arguing with our lesbian neighbors about where our property line is, and Mr. Low-Tech Mystic found our little spike that's been driven into the ground, because our property line's like a foot from their house. And they don't really want me to build a fence right there, because they're trying to claim part of our yard. It's really ridiculous. Just pointless arguments that just waste everyone's time. But the other day, I woke to my dogs barking, and I came outside and saw the dog catcher pulling my dog from my yard into his truck, and my first thought was just go shoot him. And that's probably not the best thing to do. So I just gave him his money, and I'm in my underwear in my front yard, and the old lady across the street's looking at me. You know, whatever. But maybe it's just amusing to me. So anyway, we go to City Hall to find out what the laws are. And what really prompted us to go there was the fact that the dog catcher, I caught him again, and I called all the dogs into the house, and he called the police on us. And a policeman came to my house. I had my screen door latched, and I opened my front door, and he goes to open the screen door and come right on in. Well, I don't know there's this new law. It's called the Fourth Amendment that says they can't come in your house unless they have a warrant. They can't go in your vehicle and they can't search you without a warrant describing the person or the place they're searching, the time they're going to be searching, and what they're looking for. So when a policeman comes to your house, unless he has a reason, like a domestic disturbance or, you know, something, he can't just, like, come on in. Well, he, of course, tries to intimidate and says, oh, you want to do this the hard way, when I wouldn't unlatch my screen door so he could, you know, throw that Fourth Amendment thing out of the way, you know, just get rid of that thing and come right on in. So we spoke with him for a while, and he told us that we had to have an underground fence, which we do have. And then he told us we couldn't. Because if you tell us, you know, two things, then you can always claim you just said one of them, because you did. And, you know, that to me is law enforcement. When you don't know the laws, but you'll just listen to any ignorant dog catcher and try to just come in my house. So we go down to City Hall to find out what the laws are. And it comes to find out there is no law about how I have my dogs penned up as long as they're, quote, contained. Now, contained could mean I'm in the front yard, the dogs are in the front yard, and they're running around. Could mean I'm in the front yard, the dogs are in the backyard, chained up behind a fence. It could mean the dogs are not bothering anyone, and they're sitting in the neighbor's yard getting some sun. It's kind of a, you know, an open word, and instead of specifying how the dog should be contained, they just say contained in the law. And then we find that the dog catcher can't come into our yard unless there is a formal complaint filed at City Hall. And I guess the lesson of this is, don't take shit from people. The dog catcher won't tell us his name or give us a receipt. So they just tell us the dog catcher's an idiot and they're going to call us and we shouldn't. They're going to call the dog catcher's boss and make, you know, tell him that not to come and bother us. Now that's what we got. We're not from here. The policeman asked me my name. I told him. Then he asked, are you from here? That was his second question. How is that the law? But it's how you have to play the system. We have a neighbor who's a nice guy. He went to high school with the mayor. He got much farther than we did. He's not even involved in it. We went down there to file a complaint. Got nowhere. But he, you know, calls his buddy up and can take care of the problem. It's very interesting. Well, anyway, we rented this office building, and not only have we fallen through the floor, we're doing a little remodeling on it, and it's been sitting vacant, and it just looks like ass. All the neighbors complain about it, and they're all excited that we're working on it. In fact, one of the neighbors has come to help. Most nights that we go out there, he's out there, and he has helped us strip out plaster off the wall, which isn't just like knocking down drywall. It's a brick wall with plaster on it that you have to hammer off inch by motherfucking inch. And then haul it all away. And he's helped us with that. He helped us with painting our ceiling. It's a big old ceiling, and it's a pain in the ass. And he's been very much helpful. The back of the building is rotten. It seems that someone didn't know how to shut a door, and there's a lot of water damage and some termite damage to the underneath of the building. We had to completely rip out the entire back floor, and there is a point to this, I guess. Maybe I'm just bitching. But we had to rip out the entire back floor and replace that and replace part of the main beam because it was very rotten. Like, you could take a hammer and go straight through the main beam that's, you know, holding up the building. You know, kind of important stuff. We had to remove the toilet because if you sat on it, you would fall through the floor. That's safe. And it's perfectly legal for me to rent a building like this. You know, with ass. Because it's called grandfathered in. There's no code, there's no nothing, it's just how it is. So we have been working on this building. My hammer was trying to, I have a big claw hammer with a wooden handle, thank God. And I was trying to pull a nail out of a board that was rotten as living shit. And this was the only solid part in this thing. Well, the main wire to our circuit breaker is exposed, my hammer hits it. I don't realize this is a live wire, because it's crap. Like, you could just hit it with your finger, and just the casing, whatever it's called, the sheathing, would just fall straight off. And made a really big spark. took out part of my hammer. And that wasn't good. And that's perfectly legal, because it's grandfathered in. You only have to replace it if you start monkeying with it. So we get to working on this. Now, it's divided into two rooms, a big room and then like a little storage area in the back. And we're building some dividers. It's a 14-foot ceiling, or a 12-foot ceiling, it's one of those. And we built some 8-foot dividers. They're not attached to anything. They're actually freestanding. And it's made out of 2x4s, and we're about to put some drywall up. We wanted to run some electrical outlets through it. And we use Romex wire, which is a double insulated wire, that's that yellow wire that's inside all your new houses. That powers up all of your outlets. You don't have to run it in conduit. It's great stuff, even though it's expensive. We do all this for four little offices, and lighting above it had a little switch to turn it on, and power outlets in the office. All the good stuff. We're working on that today, actually building some more lights. And the building inspector comes in, and he informs us that we are doing it improperly. And some of the points he made were kind of valid. Like, you know, you have to have your wiring done properly. And if anyone listening to this radio show can't figure out how to wire an outlet properly, you're a fucking retard. Because the people that do this for a living are usually not, like, college-educated, really smart guys. They're the guys that never left home. You know, they live in the same small town or live in the same town. The guy wiring the outlet is not the awesome electrician. It's the guy that can't really get a good electrician's job. You know, it's not a high-end kind of job. And I can do this. And we tested it all and it worked. Well, anyway, come in to find out that the town isn't getting enough money off of us. Now, let's trace the path of the money. How this goes. First off, I go down to a store in town. And I buy an outlet. Okay? I buy the box the outlet goes in, I buy the little fancy couplings to hook all that crap together, and I buy the really expensive wire. I pay taxes on all that, it goes to, you know, to the government. Then I go to my business, which I'm starting in the town, which will bring, you know, jobs for people and money for the town, and that's good. So I give that to them, you know, via my business. And I live in the town, so I pay taxes here and all that and the other. And I wire this stuff up. Well, that's not enough. I have to have a certified electrician do this. Okay? My framing, my non-load-bearing framing, the only thing it's holding up is the drywall that's screwed into it. Done properly. But it wasn't done by a certified contractor. So, yeah, that's not going to work either. Where my toilet would fall through the floor and I removed it, I have to have a certified plumber to replace it because it's a commercial building. Now, I can fall through the floor and that's cool, but if I want to fix it, you know, because it takes a fucking rocket scientist, you know, that passed a test to install a fucking toilet. It's two fucking bolts. You hook the water up and then you put the little gooey shit in there. It's not a hard thing. The wax ring is the proper term. It's not a hard thing. Well, how do these people get certified? Well, they give the money to the town to say, hey, these people are certified by our town to do this. And then I have to go to the people that give out the certifications and get a permit to replace the floor that I was falling through, or to build a non-load-bearing wall, or to renovate a bathroom because the toilet was going to fall through the floor. Shit like that. So I have to give all kind of people money. All kind of people money. To, you know, have a building where I won't fall through the floor and I can, I don't know, plug something into an outlet without the ceiling sparking because the lights are fucking failing and shitty and not done right. But that's okay. Because that was pre-existing. Now, the guy that's been helping us with all this stuff, he's renovated several buildings downtown. He's not a licensed contractor. He gets to do it. Why? Because he's from the town. They don't care. Oh, he's lived here his whole life. Might as well let him do it. So we're trying to figure out ways of playing the system. One way, we thought, was just to pay the $25 and become a certified contractor. Pass the test. I've seen the people that pass this thing. Why can't I pass it with a little studying? I mean, it can't be that hard. And then pay myself to inspect my work, which was perfectly suitably fine. You know, like, it's great. It works. The building inspector looked at it and, like, it's good, but it has to be certified by someone that we say can certify it. So that's just a load of crap. So several days' worth of our work has kind of gone downhill, and because we have to argue with stupid crap. Now, I can understand if we're in a major metropolitan area, and everyone kind of has to follow the same rules, that's one thing. But if you're going to let some guys get away with it, that's fucked up. Because I'm not from here. Of course, if I went to my little small town that I'm from, then I could do whatever I wanted. Because I'm from there. You know, kind of silly. Well, that burned up 20 minutes of time. Sorry about that, everyone. I needed to just bitch for a little while. And it makes me happy that thousands of people will listen to my complaints and say, Droops is a fucking retard. Why is he even talking on the radio? But, whatever. All complaints, droops@gmail.com or radio@benrev.com. Let's see. So we have a topic on this show. And now that I'm almost in a good mood, I might say. But I'm not really. Let's complain a little bit more. Now, we've been on the subject of hacker media from the last show, and we're trying to tie in each show, kind of get them to do things. And I've actually contacted some people that are not in our little hacker media scene, but create things that we would enjoy. And we're going to try to get them on the big radio show. So I'm doing stuff other than just sitting on my ass and getting yelled at by building contractors because I'm not from the town. And we're going to talk about projects today. We're going to talk about what do we do, like, sitting in IRC all day, bitching, or just talking about nothing is not hacking. You're pretty much just a faggot fanboy, or, sorry if that offends anybody, I feel bad. But, you're just wasting time. If you're sitting in IRC helping someone, you know, you're teaching someone, I would call that hacking. Because you're creating a spark in somebody, maybe. I don't know. But a lot of us do a lot of things. Like, Mr. Iron Geek does a lot of shit. And he does really cool shit. And the DDP does little cool things. You know, they produce this. They make little projects. They help people in the forums, this, that, and the other. That's coolness. People produce all kind of content all around. You can go to sites like Hackaday and here's someone that's made something that's frickin' cool, you know, and they're trying to share it with the world. Here's how you do it. And that's really awesome. And then you have your people that say, oh, it's fucking retarded. Fuck that. It's stupid. You know, like if I made a TV show that was worse than the stuff I usually make and someone was to come out and say, that's fucking stupid, then that person is a jackass. Shit will float to the bottom. If I don't like something, doesn't mean someone else doesn't like it. Like, a few months ago, Mr. Low-Tech Mystic could not use Linux near what he needed to be using it. And we taught him, and now he's going at it. But a few months ago, he'd been really interested in a very basic Linux show that would have been bored the shit out of me. And I would have said, well, that's pretty stupid, you know? But I wouldn't go tell him, hey, you're an idiot for making something fucking immature and retarded. Because some people enjoy it, like a twat radio. Some of the topics don't interest me at fucking all. But some of them interest, you know, really pique my interest. And I'm sure I don't have the same opinions as everyone else. And that's kind of how it works. So, I don't know. I'm kind of trying to make the show topic to not just Droops rambling along, but to make the show topic, we try with the binary revolution to promote the ideal that hacking is a community effort. And by people having projects and people helping with projects, people encouraging with projects, people just giving a comment to help things, that's hacking. It doesn't matter how freaking leapzor you are if you can own my boxes sitting in my house, which I could own them. I don't care. If you're working alone, you're not helping the community. And if you're not learning, you're not helping yourself. If I'm doing the same shit every day, that's not hacking. That's ridiculous. That's me not learning anything. At this business we're trying to start up, we have a large area that's our little hacking area, so that we can have our soldering iron, and we can do our hardware stuff, and we can have our software stuff, and we can play around with whatever we want, and have a bunch of shelves to store all our crap, so that I can get it out of my house, and so that we can have an area that people can come and play with our toys and have a good time and learn. And I don't know, I'm kind of rambling now, so I think this is a wonderful time to switch over to Mr. Stank Dog. I gave him a little holler way before the show was supposed to be out. I'm sorry, guys. But listen to Stank Dog for a little while.
Captain Kangaroo Show.
What's up, playa?
Just chilling.
Good deal.
Mind in mind.
Awesome.
So what are we doing tonight there, buddy?
Well, we are going to talk for a minute, and only a few minutes, about...
Are we already recording?
Yes.
So is that whole little buddy Captain Kangaroo thing going on there?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
I've almost got enough for an hour and a half clip show just out of the last show.
Out of the last show? Okay.
But, let's see, I was going to talk...
But anyway, yeah, you can edit that first part out.
Okay.
All right, let's start now. So, what's going on there, Droops? What are we talking about tonight, buddy?
Well, today, sir, we are going to be talking about the revolution that we've kind of got going on. And about people that are not helping the revolution, and people that are.
How long is the show, man? I don't know if we have enough time for all that.
Well, we're going to do an 8-hour episode, actually.
Well, that might get us through the A's.
Well, that'll get us through the A's. Good deal.
Maybe the B's, I don't know.
Good thing your name starts with S and mine starts with D.
Yeah. Well, how exactly do you want to talk about this? See, I just kind of went into a little bit of this on the premiere of Season 4, the premiere episode that we did at Hope, but shall I do like a kind of a maybe an overview or a review for some of the new listeners about what the binary revolution is all about and what it means?
I think that would be an excellent idea, Mr. Stinky.
That would be helpful because, see, a lot of people, quite honestly, don't even know what BinRev stands for. BinRev.com stands for the binary revolution, which is kind of this, revolution, which is pretty much self-descriptive there. It's kind of a new mindset or a new way of thinking, kind of this change in the hacking scene that we've been trying to create, something we've been trying to move forward with for several years now, and I think we're making some progress. Sometimes it feels that every time you take a step forward, you get knocked back a step, but I think overall we've been taking two forward to get knocked back one, so I think we're still making some headway.
Good deal.
But basically... And people who have been in the scene for a while can maybe either back me up on this or completely disagree with me on this, but hacking was different not so awful long ago, a generation ago, if you want to speak in generational terms of hackers, which is probably 5 years the way technology goes. But
so when you were like around 40.
Right, so before I crossed the 50 barrier. Now, probably 5 to 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more, there was no real community. I mean, I think that's really the key word, and it's kind of a word. You never heard the word community to refer to hackers before, you know, a few years ago. And actually, I credit that to Dual Peril. He was very big on that word, very big on community. And, you know, one of the things that he and I have always agreed on and always liked is, you know, the whole aspect of working together, being friends and friendly with people, helping each other out. And maybe that's part of our personalities combined with our hacking interests. But we thought that, you know, it might be something good to start a new community of hacking, kind of show people that hacking is not all this sitting alone in your basement with the computers on and the lights off and not sleeping and drinking Jolt Cola and whatever other cliches they have for hacking. It's not like that anymore. It's changed. It certainly was, and there's not really a whole lot of debate. I mean, there are many times I spent in the dark hacking all through the night back when I was able to stay up all night without sleep. But it's changed now. And I think that we as a community or as individual hackers even need to grow and adapt with that. So the binary revolution was something that I just kind of made up one day, and I knew in the beginning it was a huge undertaking. I hoped that it would actually be a revolution. I hoped that enough people would be on board and feel the same way that I do, insofar as instead of us turning people away from hacking and chasing people away from hacking, we want more people to become hackers. Now, I'm not going to go into a rant on what a hacker is or isn't. I think we've beaten that horse to a bloody pulp. I think that horse has been beaten to death. And if we beat it anymore, we might get PETA, whatever PETA. That group is called after us. Yeah, those nut jobs.
Well, pretty much just to generalize what a hacker is, just real quick, is large genitalia, right?
Exactly. You know we're going to get a hate mail from PETA members now, right? Because I just said that. But anyway, they are nut jobs. But that's neither here nor there. I don't know if they're as big a nut jobs as Scientology? But anyway, I digress. The binary revolution. See, we've got to mix a little humor in here.
Oh, yeah.
The binary revolution, to get back on topic here, is the other thing about the community in the past was not only that we were solitary creatures, but that when someone new came into the community, I guess, for lack of a better word, they had to earn their stripes, so to speak. They had to learn it on their own. They had to teach themselves. They had to get into the trenches. And they had to spend years and years and years just to kind of get up to speed and just to kind of even learn the mindset. You know, and truthfully, you should have that going in. Most people do have that curiosity and stuff in common. But more to the point of learning and getting people up to speed quickly on general security concepts, about the hacking mindset in general, about thinking outside of the box, things like that, and more specifically, actual applications and thoughts, processes of how to hack. So it's so all-encompassing now. There's so many different things that can be done. No one person can learn it all. Back in the day, you didn't have the global interweb, which kind of added a whole new, world of hacking, if you will. So back then it was a little bit easier, and people knew a lot more, if you want to look at it as the greater percentage of computer knowledge that there was, because there was a limited amount of knowledge to know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that sentence made any sense at all, but so now, anyway, the binary revolution is really an attempt to get people to help each other, so that instead of us working solo, instead of us working by ourselves, and even worse, instead of us being kicked down and kicked backwards by the hackers that are already out there, the older generation of hackers, and having this elitism of, you have to learn it yourself, I'm not going to show you anything, you're a noob just because you ask a question. And that was one of my biggest things, is I did go through the trenches. I did learn a lot of stuff. I was around in that generation. Old jokes aside, I am old. I was around back then. And as technology evolved, no matter how much you know, there's always more out there to learn. And I guess some of the old school hackers never let go of the fact that they couldn't know everything. They could never admit to that. They could never come to terms or come to grips with that in their own reality. Whereas I have no problem saying that I don't know squat compared to what kids coming up now. And, you know, when I say kids, I mean kids. There were 13, 14, 15-year-old kids that are learning stuff that I never even dreamed of. You know, they're teaching stuff now in school that we didn't even have available when I was coming up. There are security things, security topics, I guess, out there now that weren't even dreamed of back then. And to know all of them and to get up to speed and earn your stripes is a ridiculous notion now, because you'll never, ever learn all of those basics. It's just too hard and too time-consuming to sit and teach yourself everything there is to know about hacking, even basic-level hacking. Mm-hmm. So part of the revolution is, let's stop doing this. Let's stop flying solo. Let's stop kicking each other down is the bigger part of it, and let's start helping each other up. You know, and I, you know, one of the things I know it's maybe it's become cliche for me, but I still love this statement that I've always put on my websites and stuff, is that hacking is about construction, not destruction. You know, it's about creating things, it's about working together, it's about helping each other, and all of us moving forward, even if it's just a little bit of knowledge shared amongst all of us. That, to me, is a positive benefit to the hacking community that has now existed, and I still think that even though there's a little bit of drama here and there, and people come and go from the scene, people come on and they'll see a hacking website, but they, some people you just can't make them see, you can't make them learn. I mean, we've, you know, even very recently we've lost people who, you know, we won't mention names or anything, I like that, because I think people see others come and go, but that you know, they like the site, they like some of the people on the site, but they just never got the idea of what the revolution is all about. If you really want to be an active, productive member of Binary Revolution, if you want to impress me, if you want to make put a smile on my face, in legal ways, of course, come to the site and produce stuff. Even if it's, listen, I know that people work for a living, and they go to school for a living, and they're out trying to get laid and all the other things that go along with life. But even if you just come and become a productive poster in the forums, you don't have to go out and make your own radio show. We certainly would help and support as much as we can if you did. A lot of people have done that. You can come and write articles if you've got time or if that interests you. I like writing myself, and some other people might as well. Some people don't. Maybe they'd prefer doing a radio show. Maybe they'd prefer filming video footage for Hack TV or other shows. If they just want to come and hang out in IRC and chat during the day and have somebody to bounce questions off of. You know, any of these things is productive, as opposed to coming into a forum and saying, you're a noob, you suck, going into IRC talking about how bad a radio show is, or how bad, oh, your product is terrible, and I can't stand Doc Droppers, what a horrible website that is. Okay, either make one that's better, or help us fix the one that we have. And there's the line that gets crossed. There's the big difference, and this is what separates the revolutionaries from, and I don't care if they're hackers or not, you can be a hacker and still be a sheep. I know that's a concept. Hackers hate to be referred to as sheep because we think the everyday person, the commoner, is the sheep or the sheeple. But you know what? You've got to come out here and do something. You can talk all day long. There's a lot of talkers in the world, and they're called politicians. How about we actually do something? We produce something. Anything. And I've heard this argument, and Drew, let me ask you, because I'm sitting here just babbling off, which you know I can do sometimes. So
I was
going to
say blathering.
Okay. Let me ask you this question and see what your opinion is, because I think we might agree on this, but is there such thing, because this was posed to me recently, and I tried to debate or make the person see the light, in my opinion, maybe I'm wrong. Is there such thing as a bad contribution to the hacking community? I mean, if somebody makes something that's just, frankly, not good, is that a bad thing?
If someone makes something that is not good, okay, so let's say I start a radio show called Infonomicon and it sucks.
Okay.
And instead of people emailing me and saying, hey, Droops, this sucks, this is freaking retarded, you're a fuckhead, and then going into forums and saying, Droop sucks, he made a stupid-ass radio show.
Mm-hmm.
People could either say, hey, Droops, here's some things you could do to do it better and maybe help me improve mine, or say, Droops is an idiot to themselves, I could do something better than he can, and then try to build off of my mistakes and make something better. So, no. I don't think that anyone that makes a contribution, even how bad it is, would spark an idea. It might spark an idea in someone else and make something better.
Well, what about public disclosure? What about, you know, going out into, say, a public forum or an IRC channel or something like that and saying, hey, everybody, Infonomicon Radio sucks?
Well, that just lets everyone know around them that they're just being a jackass. Because if it sucks, you're probably not the first person to recognize that. And if you're going to be the jackass and not try to help, and you just want to, ooh, I noticed that it sucked, I'm really cool, you're just making yourself a jackass, and at least it tells other people, hey, I'm a jackass.
Right, and also, you know, that's also an opinion-based thing. What you think sucks, other people may like, so.
This is true.
The truth of the matter is, on that note, the stuff that sucks, and I'm not saying there is some stuff in the hacking scene, the hacking community or whatever that sucks. There are articles that suck. Mine may fall into that sometimes, the radio
like,
show.
Like every DDP project ever.
Ever, every single one.
Every one of them.
You know, we're not down there with the Infonomicon Computer Club or anything, but, you know, we're towards the bottom. No, but, I mean, the truth of the matter is, joking aside, the fact is the crappy projects, that people do, they're going to filter themselves to the bottom and eventually disappear.
Yeah.
They don't hurt anybody necessarily. If you're getting false information or misinformation, that's kind of a little bit different, because if somebody hears it and thinks that is truth, then yes, that can be a problem. But I think for the most part, it's one of those self-policing things where if somebody makes a misstatement, and believe me, if anybody who's listened to the show knows that I give an email address at the end to say if I've made any mistakes or misspoke about anything, by all means, let me know. And I'll throw it out right now. This is just an opinion of mine. This is what the Binary Revolution is about. This is the goal, is to bring people together, work on projects and things like that, and try to get things done. That's what my opinion is. That's what my goal is for the Binary Revolution. And it's going to stay that way, and I hope people will be on board with it. Now, if you have any suggestions to make it better, by all means, email me and let me know. By all means, if you really want to be a jackass, you can go to the forums and say, listen, Stank Dog, about that rant you went on, you fucking jackass, I hope you burn in hell. You can do that, too. But which one of those do you think is actually productive and might actually help the situation, and which one of those is going to really harm or hurt the situation and, again, make you look like a complete jackass? Even if you're brilliant, you could be Albert Einstein for all I care. But it's the way you go about doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just want people to get together. And, like, a lot of the times I get frustrated with, and I admit it, that I kind of go into these little negativity zones on short term where I'm like, fuck everybody. I get pissed off because, you know, nobody helps. Or, you know, at least if somebody tries to help, I can never fault them for that. You know, I've had people that, you know, they just end up, something happens in real life and they can't come through with it or whatever. That's one thing. That's understandable. But for somebody that just complains, or somebody that just, you know, talks a bunch of shit but doesn't do anything on their own to back it up or to help the situation, I really don't have a whole lot of sympathy for that. So
totally in agreement, buddy.
Yeah, well, and to put it in perspective, one of the things I used to do on the show in the early days, and enough people, we won't say complain, but enough people made comment that it kind of took up too much time and they weren't interested in it, was the statistics from the sites and the things that we do. So I'll briefly mention at least this statistic because I'm rather proud of it. Generally speaking, the Binary Revolution, from when we started it, I mean, we started the Binary Revolution, we were getting less than 100 unique visits a day, and those were mostly, you know, my friends. That was me and Duel and Bland and, you know, the regular crew, Wintermute, Nick 84, who's been around since the beginning, who's still brilliant, by the way. Shouts to Nick.
Hell yeah.
From less than 100 unique hits a day, back when it was on StankDog.com, and we branched it off and said, you know, let's start this revolution, let's really make this happen, to today, which is, gosh, what, 3 or 4 years later? I don't even know. I'd have to go look that up. So far, this is, let's see, this is August of 2006, and we have broken on a couple days this past 2 months over 10,000 unique visits a day. 10,000, up from 100 when we started a few years ago. Even 1 year ago, Even 1 year ago, we were around 4,000 and some unique visitors. So we've doubled, like, basically every year, incrementally. We've been doubling and doubling and doubling every year since we've been out there. So, you know, even if something that we do sucks, and I certainly wouldn't argue that it doesn't. We have had a few bad episodes of the show. We've hopefully had a few good ones, good articles mixed with bad articles. We try. We do what we can. And you know what? With us all helping each other and working together, it can only get better all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are obviously getting something out of it. And I've also said before, and I'm going to say this again, and I can't make it any more sincere. I'm being completely honest when I say this, because another thing that people have said to me is that I'm like this big glory hound and I'm a media whore or whatever. I'll gladly give up my name. I'll take my name off of things if it will get someone else to go out and produce something. These projects that I come up with and these ideas that I come up with, that's how members get into DDP, is that these are people that actually do stuff and impress me and show me things. And when we come up with project ideas, we all work on them. We all share them. And you work on this and I'll work on that. That's a great feeling. So if I can go out there and give someone an idea or inspire someone, hey, you know, Snank was talking about this on the show. Maybe I can do this about it. Maybe I can write some code around this. What if I script that? If you do that, that means more to me than anything. I'll gladly, I don't want any credit. I don't want my name on it. I don't care if I have, I'll help you out. I'll co-author it. I'll edit it. I'll do anything. And you don't even have to give me credit on it if you don't want to. It's not about that. It's about put up or shut up. Do it. Do it, do it. And I think, Droops, that you, and I don't want to speak for anybody else, but you, the Infonomicon guys, DDP, myself specifically, I will bend over backwards. I'll do anything I can to help people out when it comes to producing stuff. If I can offer you free hosting, advice, suggestions, look over your code, anything that I can do to help out, I will gladly do it. And I don't need my name on it. I don't need any credit. I don't need any thanks. I just want somebody to do something. That's what BenRev is all about, and a lot of people have done it. Look at the list of shows that have come out of this. Look at the video shows. That's the other thing that blows my mind. We created Hack TV. It was unheard of. And now look how many hacking video shows or technology video shows that call themselves hacking shows there are out there. That's fine. I think that's great. The more the merrier. And again, the ones that suck are going to filter to the bottom. And hey, maybe that's Hack TV's destiny was to inspire others to do great things, and we'll filter to the bottom as the crappiest one of all. That's okay with me. We prompted other people to do stuff, and that is the most important thing. And I'm actually pacing in my office right now, and I'm starting to sweat because I'm on the podium here pounding. You could stop me at any time if you want, because I could certainly keep going for an hour and a half on this subject.
Well, that'll save me some work.
Well, I think we'll wrap it up. I mean, the biggest message there is, and I kind of, like I said, I went into this a little bit at Hope, and if you want to see the video, you'll see me. I was really sweating there. I was really just up and down the aisles when I was going off on that one. But I really sincerely mean this, people. I will help anybody do things. It's not about any perceived fame or any other crap like that. It's not about being a media whore. It's not about any of that stuff. I'll help anybody put something. I would rather help 10 people put things out than put 10 things out myself. I really would. I don't care if Stang Dog ever releases another thing ever if other people are doing it better.
Hell yeah.
I mean that, and I can't say it any better than that.
That's why he gave me the radio show, because I'm so much better.
Exactly. Well, come on. I mean, that goes without saying. Do we really even have to say that? I mean, everybody listening knows that. I mean, come on. I'm just honored that you allowed me to be on the episode.
Oh, yeah.
But do you think, is the revolution working? I mean, you and I kind of talked about this before. You know, is the revolution failing? Why the revolution will fail? Is it failing?
Well,
I mean, with the increase of those numbers, I mean, I just can't see that it's failing. It may be failing at certain parts, or it may be underachieving, I think is a better word.
Yeah, I would definitely go with underachieving. Over at the Infonomicon site, we're trying to figure out ways of getting people motivated to do things. And we like to help people that don't have a particular goal in mind, and maybe they'll just be malicious and annoying, and we can give them something positive to do, and a little community base that they can, you know, use. And we started that Twat Radio show expecting to have 10 episodes that me and Dossman recorded and have one person send one in. You know, so Dossman and I would do 9 of them. And, like, that thing's on almost episode 140 now. And it's not been an everyday thing, but the community has really stepped up, and it's a lot of the same people. But they've really stepped up and said, hey, this is a good idea, I want to help with it. And, I don't know, the magazine's been getting out really slow. The DDP's been putting out the,
yeah,
what's the name
that
of that damn
back
thing?
To those, the Ben Rev magazine.
But,
actually, you know, I've been calling it lately, I've been calling it Break Magazine. It kind of rolls off the tongue a little bit better. Maybe when we relaunch, it'll be Break Magazine. But, yeah, that goes back to what I said earlier about the whole real life thing. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up, Drews. What a great thing to bring up right now, because we could certainly use some artists, people who have absolute definite experience in print layout and print technology. If you've done magazine layout, design work, stuff like that, please get in touch with us, because we could certainly use the help. But, yeah, the people we've been having working on that in both cases have ended up getting married and moving and getting new jobs, et cetera, which, again, always comes first. So much
well,
of that
I think the magazine's,
guys, and as,
well,
much
I think
the
magazine's
magazine,
a lot harder to do.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's not as instantly gratifying.
It's difficult to do well. It's difficult to do right. You know, I could throw something out there, and I'm biting my tongue on insulting another magazine, but I could throw some stuff out there, you know, and get her done. But, you know, I'm very proud at both the look and the feel and the content of Ben Rev Magazine. So, yeah, to do it right is a whole different thing. And anybody who's seen those magazines will know, you know, how incredible the work that Logan Five and Cypher X have done in the magazine in the past. And, you know, they have big shoes to fill. But if anybody does have, you know, experience and thinks that they can handle it, you can take a look at the samples that are on the website, or if you have physical access to the magazines through your friends or through ordering them. By the way, I've sent out a lot of orders. We had some order fulfillment problems there for a little while that I was just recently made aware of. So Phil sent a bunch of those out, actually, just before we recorded this. So they are on their way. So hopefully we'll get a lot of that stuff squared away. And temporarily, while we take care of those people and send our apologies to, of course, we have taken off the orders temporarily. So right now, we got to kind of regroup and see exactly where we stand with the magazine, and hopefully there will be a future there, but that's for us to decide. It's kind of expensive, too, which is another thing that comes into play.
Good deal. Well, we're hoping our site we haven't announced yet is going to help with the whole getting people motivated to do things.
Mm-hmm.
We're really looking forward to that.
Very cool. Now, are you announcing that on the end of the show?
We are, actually.
Cool. It'll be good to see what kind of feedback there is. And again, anybody that I sincerely mean this, if you have any feedback on, you know, what I view as the hacking community and my thoughts on the revolution and what it stands for, if you agree or disagree, either way, please send us an email. You know, I would love to hear it and hear your thoughts, because, you know, I make mistakes. Well, I made a mistake once. Well,
sorry.
I thought I did, but I was mistaken, so I really didn't. See that little double joke there? Never mind.
So our love down by the fire wasn't a mistake now? Why don't you make up your damn mind?
I had been drinking. You know, when you start drinking, things happen. You know, truth or dare, the spin the bottle. Look.
My lingerie.
Hey, all I know is there's only one person in DDP who's ever carried Big Red in their suitcase with them to a hacking convention. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going any further than that.
Weren't you staying in the room with old Big Red?
Unfortunately, yes, I was. Little inside joke. We'll have to leave that one all alone. Let's leave that one hanging. Somebody's laughing out here right now.
I walk into the room, and there's Big Red just sitting there. And I was like, what the hell are y'all doing?
Oh, shit. We might have to end up explaining that one later. But for now, let's leave
that. Biggest red I've ever seen.
Oh, shit. That was weird.
Like, what if his baggage would have been searched at the airport? What would he have said?
Well, that's not, yeah, that's not exactly something you take on Carry On.
No.
Because you can't explain, especially whatever. By the way, I want to send a big fat fuck you out to these people. Now, I can't even carry fucking toothpaste and shampoo and shit in my, when I travel, which I, and for those of you who don't know, I travel quite a bit for a living. I can't even carry my fucking toothpaste. Now, because of you fuckers out there, you fucking terrorists out there that want to try to take fucking piss bombs or whatever the hell they were doing on the airplane, I can't carry on my luggage anymore and jump right off the plane and get where I need to go. I got to go fucking check my bag, and then I got to get there and hope that the fucking thing made it in one piece and wait 15 minutes for it to come out. Oh, fucked up my whole way of life, basically.
Yeah.
So big fat fuck you to them.
Yeah.
As if they listen, but whatever.
Never know. Oh, Lordy.
You never know.
You never know.
That's right. Well, Droops, thank you for having me on the show there, buddy. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for coming on to the big show, Mr. Stinky.
And I hope people will take heed and partake of your big announcement upcoming at the end of the show. And I, of course, kind of know about it, but, you know, wait until everybody else hears it. And and good job on HackerMedia.org, the new relaunched HackerMedia.org.
Yeah, it's coming along.
I'll reemphasize it on this episode of the show in case anybody didn't hear it in the underwater through tin cans episode of the show last week.
You know, that episode sounded god-awful.
It was pretty rough, so hopefully this one will be in better shape.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess that's going to do it for me.
Well, I'm going to go spray paint some stuff, buddy.
All right, sounds like a plan.
Later.
Later.
Well, I guess the whole point of all this mess that we've been going through tonight is that helping with projects and helping the community become better at what we do is very important. And it's really cool for everyone to do things like that and be a whole group and not just be some guy sitting in his room drinking Mountain Dew recording Binary Revolution Radio in his underwear or no pants at all. So anyway, sorry my chair squeaks, guys. I just really can't get comfortable. But anyway, I guess we have a big announcement to make. Well, anyway, like I said, Hacker Media has a sister site now. It's hackerprojects.org. And if you go to it right now, it's not exactly finished, because I've been a little busy. But it's going to be a similar site to Hacker Media, except there's a lot of projects that aren't, you know, done in an episode of a radio show or on a video, and it's going to pull that. So like we would have an RSS feed, I've said his name like 8 times, but Mr. Iron Geek, I have an RSS feed from his site of all the things that he does that aren't going to be on the Hacker Media site. And we're going to have a spot where people can go to submit project ideas. So if people aren't creative and, you know, can do stuff, they can peruse through that. Or every time this gets updated or sometime, you know, whatever, it'll all be on the Hacker Project site. And we're still working on ideas for it. So again, feel free to get in touch with me. I'm always idling in IRC. It is possible to get in touch with me. It's not real hard. Or email me. And toss some ideas out for me. Because this is a Hacker Project site, and I want it to be, you know, an aggregate for all the things that we do that make doing what we do so fun. And hopefully I'll have some naked pictures of myself up there pretty damn soon for people that want to practice their Photoshop skills or whatever. Whew, guess that's a big one. Yeah, we're a group. We're a team. We're a community. We need to all stress this and all help each other. If something is done poorly, help people with it. Don't email them and say, hey, this isn't done right, fix it. When the fuck are you going to have it done? You know, we're a community. Help each other out. We're not like my little small town where you have to be in the know. You know, like, I wouldn't take my laptop and set it in front of my office and expect my neighbors to look after it. But I would go to a HackerCon and set it down and expect everyone around there to watch my shit. Because we're a community and we're good people. And, well, you know, there's always the bad eggs. So, if you're not good people, don't say, ah!
I'll fool you and steal your laptop and sell it for $20, because that's what fucker's worth. I guess from now on, I'm taking my Pentium 90 to cons. Well, anyway, I guess this has been a Binary Revolution radio episode. And our closing music tonight is a band we should have used last week on the horrible underwater episode, but it's a band called Of a Revolution. If you're around a college radio station, or, I don't know. I'm not ever in the know. In my entire life, I've never been in the know. So maybe they suck and everyone makes fun of them. But I really enjoy their music. And I found this on archive.org, this Of a Revolution band. And they are singing a song called The Wait, which is a cover of a song by a band called The Band, which, that's awesome. It's like, how do you use Napster? Okay. How do you use scour.net to find a song? You don't know the name of it, but you know the name of the band is Live. Search for music with Live in the title, and you'll definitely find Dolphins Cry. Okay. Anyway, this has been a Binary Revolution Radio. I have been Droops, and we will see you. Of course, this is, you know, the downfall of Binary Revolution Radio when Droops took over. But, we'll see you same hack time. Well, hopefully, we will see you same hack time, same hack channel.
I pulled in the Nazareth, was feeling about half past dead. I just need some place where I can lay my head. Hey, miss, can you tell me where may I find a bed? He just grinned and shook my hand. No one's all he said. Take a load off, Manny. Take a load for free. Take a load off.
Okay, boy, just beat him when you can.
Take a load off, man.
tonight. We appreciate you very much. We'll see you soon.